We want to start off this episode. We're going to be dramatic.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the Super Bowl rigged?
Is Taylor Swift going to make the game after her concert in Tokyo?
People are looking to you for bets now. And there was a time on the podcast, dude, where you and I were talking like, are you sure? Like, you don't have a problem? You'll notice we have a familiar face here on the couch. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter Moran, let's clap it up, please.
Hell yeah, baby.
Great to see you, dude. And we were doing the pod 3 times a week at one point.
Full on quarantine.
Yeah, dude. And here we are, man. So good to see you.
YouTube. I gotta say, you're on episode 419.
Yeah.
I gotta respect it. Come on. You're on there preaching dedication. Most people that get on Instagram and start putting motivational quotes up, they're done in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
been here for years. I respect it.
I appreciate that shit, bro. Well, it's great to see you, man. And you yourself have found, I don't want to say a niche, because you've always been kind of like a gambling, football loving type dude, but you are killing it. Is the Super Bowl rigged, Peter Moran?
I'll say this.
Yeah.
If it were rigged, everyone's saying it's rigged. It's Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift. It's a huge hoopla. They're going to get engaged afterwards, all that.
Bro, that's ridiculous.
If it were rigged.
I've heard that too, but go ahead.
If it were rigged. I'm not saying it is, but if it were rigged, the Chiefs aren't winning it if it were rigged. If it were rigged, you get all the new Chiefs fans, all the Taylor Swift bandwagoners that want to be part of the Chiefs. You don't give them glory the first year in the league, the first year as fans. You give them a taste, and you need to make it good. You need to bring them to the Super Bowl and be like, this is what it could be, and then leave them wanting more. So, and they come back next year. If you win the Super Bowl this year, next year it's like, okay, cool, maybe I'll tune in for the playoffs. If you almost get there, you bring a lot more people back next year. So if you're an NFL's rigged truther, bet the Niners.
And are you an NFL truther here? Are you going to be betting the Niners?
I'll be betting the Niners. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I can imagine you're going to be betting like on a lot of different things also.
Yeah, the Super Bowl, right? This is also the message I want to spread to everyone. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I do give out picks all the time online, and there's, you know, it's divisive. I say Niners, all the Chiefs fans are like, are you out of your mind? I say Chiefs, all the Niners fans are like, you're out of your mind. But there's one thing we can bring the country together to on this event that we're all watching together, the coin flip bet. And they're actually giving even money on this, plus 100 out of it. Normally it'd be minus 110. That's how Vegas gets you. But listen, if we all bet heads, I'm telling you, if we all bet heads, we're all rooting for the same exact thing together. It doesn't matter, because we make that decision before you know who's receiving, who's giving away, who wants heads. We all bet heads, everyone together, united as one. And since it's even money, if you've already done tails, you can undo it. You can say you put 10 bucks down on tails, do 20 on heads. We're all on heads. That's all I'm saying.
What's the benefit for all of us betting heads, though?
We all get to be together for a moment. We get to hold hands across the nation heads of our life. That's what we're doing.
Right. But how many prop bets do they have? That's the correct term, correct? Like, how many prop bets do they have for the Super Bowl? Is it unlimited? Thousands?
Yeah, I mean, if you're on different books, you can bet you can bet on if, like, they'll get engaged at the end of
If Taylor Swift smiles when she's on camera type.
Bet, like, her hair's up or hair down.
I know that the a main one that people do prop bets wise is what color the Gatorade will be at the end.
Yeah.
What were you about to say?
It's tough on that, because last year the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. So if you think it's the Chiefs, you kind of have a clue. Now, I might mix up, but normally you can't rig things. There is a world here. This happened 2 years ago, so you can't bet as much. But there used to be a bet over under 0.5 streakers. And then a dude nuked it. He bet like 100K on it, and he streaked, and he paid a $10,000 fine and went in prison or jail for the night. He made 90K. I'm just saying, this is where you can actually do something about it. This is where you can actually impact it. Also, you know,
wait, where can you impact it? What do you mean?
I'm saying you can bet on a streaker at the Super Bowl, and then you can streak at the Super Bowl. Normally you don't get to participate in your prop bets. All I'm saying. So if you're close to Taylor Swift, or you got someone who's close to Taylor Swift, and you bet on if her hair's up or down, just saying.
I just couldn't see her giving out the line, you know what I mean? And be like, well, I'm going to put my hair up today.
No, she's not giving out a line, but somebody knows. Or you could even be like, say you're, you know, because people huddle around celebrities and try to leech off them. That's just how it works, especially someone that's as big of has a planetary pull like she does. So you got someone that's kind of in her circle but doesn't have the bag yet that's like, listen, you make the bet, we split the money, I'll make sure she's wearing her hair up. Just saying. Her stylist.
Do you think Taylor Swift is good for football?
Yeah. I mean, listen, you say I got all these views. I get so many views if I talk about Taylor Swift. The NFL gets so much more attention if you talk about Taylor Swift. Even the controversy, because the NFL has who it has as fans. we are going to watch the game no matter what. I think it's insane if you're upset about seeing her. Like, we see every play. I would have seen her in a commercial for more time anyway. So if I see her, I don't care. No, not good, not bad. But you bring in all her fans. Great. All the football fans. We're not leaving. You could do anything. We're not leaving. Like, it's a nasty, nasty sport. People are dying on the field. We're not leaving.
Yeah.
I will watch football. If you had to, every year at the end of the season, you kill one of my family members, I'm probably still watching.
Dude, how did you get to the, you just went home for the weekend? Because Peter is from Buffalo, by the way, and he was at the Bills game. That's when we last connected a couple of weeks ago. What were you doing at that game? Were you with your family or what?
With some of my buddies. If someone tells me I got tickets for the game, I'm coming through.
Yeah, obviously. Like,
it has to happen.
What was that? Was that the divisional or the
AFC that was the conference? Divisional round. Okay. Bills hosted Chiefs. Hardest night of my life, but best day of my life.
Why do you think it was so hard, though? Given that obviously you love the Bills and maybe put some money on it, but why was it so difficult for you?
There's so much potential. It's really like a crazy thing. Like, I get being that obsessed with football. Like, people can cringe at whatever, but Buffalo, it is a full-on religion, and it's like all you have in Buffalo. It's the thing we're proud of, and now we're finally like, good, we're contenders, we're getting some national recognition, we love Josh Allen, and we're getting close. And it felt like a really good opportunity for us to do it this year. Felt we were favorites by a couple points, you know, knew it wasn't going to be easy. And the energy there was so electric. We were so ready to celebrate so hard.
Did you help shovel?
I didn't get back in time to shovel.
For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, the Bills put out, I guess it was a tweet saying there was this huge snowstorm and they needed people who lived in the Buffalo area to come help shovel the stadium. Yeah. So there were like thousands of people waiting online just to shovel the stadium. And that's true dedication.
Even when, like, I was getting attention prior to that game for starting that sacrifice people to the pit meme, right? And it was a bigger thing than me or anything.
I'm not familiar with it. Can you talk about
there's a tradition in Buffalo. It's an inside joke. They're building a new stadium, okay? And right now it's just a giant pit. And the Bills started out the season slow. They were 6-6. It wasn't looking good. Someone fell into the pit, and then we won. And then we kept winning. And we kept sacrificing people to the pit beforehand, sacrificing a virgin to a volcano. Back in the day, they used to appease the volcano. It's not a real thing that happened. It's just like a bit we were kidding about.
But what happened was it a woman or a man who fell in the pit? Did they just trip and they like went around the caution tape? Is that what happened?
Well, okay, the first one, and I am lying a little bit about the timeline. I think there was an incident beforehand, but the person was like on LSD and like had fallen over in a porta potty, so they're a little bit slimy, a little bit nasty, and not really having like a normal day, and they ended up in the pit. It was an accident, is what I'm saying. People would go to check out. It's illegal. You shouldn't jump in, is what I'm legally obligated to say, but we were sacrificing people to the pit. That was the bit, and then I just made a video about it, and then it really, really caught on, and people just all week long on like Bill's Twitter or anything, Bill's social media, Buffalo, it's all talking about sacrificing people to the pit. The Bill's radio leading up, and I was like, you know, because I got to be a part of making that like a viral thing and that people got to talk about it, and I was like, I'm low-key, like I'm like kind of a Bill right now. I'm kind of, and that was really fun, feeling like even just being at a game screaming and being like, we did a false start there. We did that. We're a part of this. You know, you feel like you're part of it, and that's awesome. And that's what's so great about Bills Mafia. So my relationship to Buffalo, family lives there. I'll always be around. Got good friends there. But the biggest reason I go there is for Bills games, and I'll be doing that forever. I will always go to Bills games as long as they play there.
And you think Josh Allen's going to take you guys to the chip, to the Super Bowl?
I have unwavering faith in Josh.
How much does a Super Bowl ad this year cost for 30 seconds? Do you know? I was going to see if you knew before we looked it
up. I'd be spitballing, but I would say 5 to 10 mil.
Yeah, I was going to say 30 seconds, probably 5 mil. I'll pop it up right here, what it actually is. But do you see that being worth it, especially with Taylor Swift in the game now?
Obviously, you're going to have plenty of newbie fans. And also, I think like the purchasing power that women have is significantly more than men in terms of advertising. So ads in general target women like more so. So I think the value goes up a little bit. But again, we're talking in terms of people that haven't been lifelong football fans. You're getting a huge chunk anyway. It's the most viewed event every single year of everything, except yeah, maybe like a presidential debate, maybe on a rare occasion. Aside from that, like I think like 19 of the last 20 most viewed events. Uh-huh. Have been the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So,
and then a couple of them were probably like the FIFA World Cup. But besides that,
yeah,
I think like every time the World Cup comes around, that's what beats the Super Bowl for that particular year.
Yeah. Bad football.
Yeah. Spoilers for Super Bowl. Should we look for anything in particular?
Okay. You're saying that would hint that like maybe that maybe however it's being
however
scripted
you
a little.
However you think about that question, whatever.
Okay, let me something to keep an eye out for. Let me say like decent bets for the Super Bowl.
Okay, because
you should be focused.
Yeah, today's Thursday. We have I guess 3 days until the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Oh, this one's coming out. Yeah. Okay, actually, let me give two pieces of betting advice on this. Not financial advice, blah, blah, blah. The best.
By the way, just quick interject. Did you eat before this episode?
Semi-recently, not like crazy.
Because you're flying like you're on a fast, dude. Like the energy is all freaking in your brain, dude. Love it, dude.
That's what I come here to do.
Coffee?
No, this is Cortado. Yeah, second. So
is
I'm pretty
Cuban?
I don't know. I probably.
Cortado.
Yeah, I probably just said it like it was cooler. It's like it's a latte but with less milk. So it's like $5. Like you still I got it right there.
You still hammering whole milk though?
You better believe it.
All right, good.
Hammering go ahead. Whole milk eating at me. Chipotle every day.
I do love Chipotle. I will say that.
I respect it.
But go ahead.
Yeah. I think this comes back to how many people are watching it and how many people are involved in how public betting is right now. So the number one like piece of advice you could have as a new bettor is that you want to quote unquote fade the public. If everyone's betting one side, you want to be statistically speaking on the other. It's not like a guaranteed thing, but statistically speaking on the opposite end of what everyone's doing, because if everyone bets the Chiefs, they shift the line to where you get more value to bet on the Niners, right? Now, there are a ton of people, especially the quote-unquote public, meaning casual bettors who don't really watch football, don't pay attention, don't do deep analysis on their betting, are hammering the Chiefs because there's so much hype around them. Now, it's semi-balanced out because there's a ton of Chiefs haters as well because they've won so much lately. But there is extra value on the 49ers, meaning that the value you get, the minus 120 that you're getting on the Niners right now is better than it would be, better than it should be, and even better than it used to be because the public loves the Chiefs, just because that's who they're rooting for, and you don't want to bet against what you're rooting for and then feel conflicted when the game ends.
So for the people who don't know odds, and I'm not such an odds person in general, when you say minus 120, does that mean you put 100 on it and then you make another 120? What is that?
You bet 120 to win 100. So if it's minus something, that's favored. That's how it's going to be. So like minus 120, minus 200 is 200 win 100, minus 300 win 100, and then plus means 100 wins you that much. So, you know, they're only 1 point favorites. It's a very, very close matchup. They opened at like 2.5 point favorites. But again, public loves the Chiefs. So I think the value is on the Niners, but then value in general is going to be going against the public. There's going to be a lot of people betting. Obviously, Travis Kelce, they're going to bet props on him, his over on receiving yards, his over on receptions. So fading the public in this scenario could be a very profitable maneuver. And then there's the fun bets, because you want to be fully locked in the whole time. You want to be betting on the coin flip. You want to be betting on the Gatorade. So you got a beginning bet. You got an ending bet. The over under on the national anthem. This is another one where it's like, theoretically, you could have influence. Like, it's not fixed. It's not rigged. I think it's like, I don't believe that the NFL is scripted. I think that it's nudged in certain directions. I think the league wants a certain outcome and the refs might be aware of it and they might be looser with the calls. But in terms of like actual fixing, you could definitely, as a singer, say, we're going over on the time of the national anthem, because they'll put a line out. It's like over under 62.5 seconds. You can choose to go over that if you want to go over that. So I think that if you really want to get into it, trying to get some inside information on the outcome.
Who's singing the national anthem?
I actually don't know. I don't know, but we got to look into that. And then we got to study their cadence when they're singing in general. Do they hold notes longer? Also, are they like... are they extra showy? Like, are they going to be the type, like, home of the... Do they want to show off how long they can hold a note? Then we're probably leaning over. Now you could have someone that's near the situation that's around when the rehearsal's going on. I'm just saying. Yeah. There's so much stuff in the Super Bowl that you can actually get inside information on. And stuff you can influence, like the streaker bet. So, keep an eye out for that. Keep an eye out for someone who's actually put down insane bets. You can sometimes see this. You can check out on certain networks or certain reporting where you're like, this bettor put down 500,000 on us. If you put 500,000 down on a crazy prop, something might be going on. Now, you also might want to see how wealthy that person is. If they're worth $100 million,
like they Magic need to bet, Mac or something.
You know? Yeah. Mattress Mac nukes the Chiefs. I don't know. We might have to fade them. But yeah, I hate the Chiefs. They ruined my life 2 weeks ago. I want vengeance on them.
You hate them because they beat the Bills solely?
Yeah, they beat the Bills, and I've lost. I used to, like, I hated Tom Brady when he was winning all the time. I didn't feel that way about Mahomes until this year. You know, I just, he's bothered me this year, his general demeanor. I really don't appreciate that. And then Chiefs fans have also become incredibly insufferable. They're playing this whole, like, because they're 2-point underdogs against the Ravens. Like, they don't respect us. They don't trust it. First of all, it's not you. Secondly, like, do you know how odds are made? Odds are made off of a series of projections and an algorithm, and then how much the bettors place on either thing. It's not the league thinks you suck. It's like, congrats on not being a favorite when you're away at Baltimore. Oh, yeah, amazing win as an underdog. So Chiefs fans have become insufferable. Pat Mahomes has become insufferable. And at the end of the day, I think Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the NFL. I think he's the most talented. There's a huge gap between his accolades right now and Mahomes. And I want to narrow that gap because I believe in him to climb that mountain and make that comeback. I'm not going to go around saying he's the most accomplished. He deserves to be a GOAT. Not even close now. But I believe he's capable of it. But each ring that Mahomes gets makes it a lot more difficult.
Does Vegas get better each year on the odds and the lines? Because the amount of times that I've seen where people are this close to winning a parlay, where like Julius Randle needs one more free throw, but he hurts his shoulder and doesn't even end up going to the line. I mean, they're getting better and better. Is that what you see as like algorithms and like people or what? Like, because you can never beat Vegas.
You can't beat Vegas. Vegas can't lose is what I should say. Vegas cannot lose. You cannot beat the house, but you can beat the public. That's why I say fade the public, where they win. You want to be on the side that Vegas is on, unfortunately, because they don't lose a lot as a whole. Are they getting better? To some extent, but also like there's so many people betting now. There's so much action that everyone is always really close. Because if the line is, you know, 49ers minus one, you took Chiefs plus one, I took Niners minus one, one of us, and it's a close game, one of us is like, if he just made that field goal, you know. So it's more the popularity of it. But I'm sure as their data increases around bettors, they do get better. So it's not about the perfect line where they know it's going to be 49 points and they set the over under at 48.5. It's about beating the bettors. The information, because it moves like the stock market. If everyone bets on one side, they move the line in the opposite direction to encourage balance. Because in their ideal world, there's $1,000 on this side, $1,000 on that side, and then they only pay $910 to the winner. So they just take their 9%. That's how they win. They don't need to beat everyone. They need to balance the book as much as possible and take their juice. So it's more about beating the public.
Is Taylor Swift going to make the game after her concert in Tokyo?
Listen, Taylor Swift would never pass up on an opportunity to burn some fossil fuels.
You think that she would even cut her concert short, or does she need to do that? Do you know the metrics behind it?
I've heard rumors that there's like a 18 hours and it's a 14-hour flight or something. And like, listen, she's a whole, you know, company. Like, the logistics are going to be on point. They're going to be so prepared. They're going to have contingencies, everything. It's not
contingencies like with the venue in Japan. Meaning,
yeah, like just getting her out of there, getting the flight in the air, fuel, like I don't even know what could go wrong, but the logistics team is not gonna mess this up, I'm positive. And the concert's not gonna go long. And she's got a team. She'll be on the flight for 14 hours. They'll be getting her prepared. She'll get her sleep. She'll get her preparation.
She'll do some push-ups, you think?
She'll do it. She'll figure out where her hair's going up and down.
The pec deck in the back. Yeah.
She's getting ready. she's gonna be there. Come on.
Yeah. It's gotta be nice for her though, just to be like, if anything is fucked up, it's not my fault.
Yeah,
no, you know what I mean? And you get to that point in life where you're like, everything is my fault, accountability and everything. And in this situation, somebody around her would easily get fired if she doesn't make the game.
Oh yeah.
Like there's 0% chance that she doesn't make the game. And if she doesn't make the game, it's just like, I don't even know.
Whoever is in charge.
That's bigger than the Super Bowl, bro. That's a bigger story than the Super Bowl.
If the Super Bowl starts at like 7:05 instead of 6:30, we know why.
Oh my God. That's so true.
No, she'll parachute out of the plane and land at midfield. That'll be the coin flip. They'll be like, will she land foot first or?
Yeah. I imagine, there's probably a prop bet. Will Taylor Swift come on the field and kiss Travis Kelce if they win? Will they kiss if they lose? How many times will they show her in the box? Al Michaels has really been the only announcer, it seems like, that is outspoken about seeing her too much during games. Am I right?
It's a weird thing because I do think the reality is like, they show other people more. People hated on Brittany Mahomes last year a ton. Not that she was a celebrity before Mahomes got famous, but people hated on her a ton. Jackson Mahomes, his brother, who was like definitely using the clout because he was, you know, just a nobody trying to get famous on online. It's just, it's what happens. People surround fame and get shown. She is so, so famous. Like, of course they're going to show her. And that's why I say, like, people want to hate. Of course the NFL is doing it. The reason I talk about her a lot is because if I talk about Taylor Swift, people will pay attention. And that is how the attention economy works. You talk about the thing that people are talking about. So the NFL is like, oh, people like it. We're leaning into it. Sure, there's some backlash because, you know, football fans, I'm such a hardcore football fan, but football fans are still so stupid. Like, I don't want to see Taylor. Like, bro, there's 40 seconds between plays. If three of those plays we see here for 2 seconds, like, it just doesn't impact my life whatsoever. But even the backlash, that's attention too.
Well, what do you think people would argue and say, stop showing her? Are they like, oh, it's making the NFL soft. It's softening our brand.
Yeah, I think it's just like, we came here to watch football, not see Taylor Swift. Right, I'm like, we see the crowd. We see the wives, we see the girlfriends, the families all the time. I just don't have any opinion of if I would rather see her cheering or the coach clapping. Like, it doesn't matter to me. All I care about is what's happening on the field. Yeah. And then I'm like looking at my phone, making my next bet. Honestly, like I missed it. You think I'm not watching commercial? I got NFL Sunday Ticket. I got Red Zone on one screen. I got another screen with another game. And then I got the main game I'm watching on. Like, trust me, I don't have the attention span to give a shit.
What are your Super Bowl plans?
I'm going to Nashville. Shout out SoBet. SoBet's where you go if you want all my action. It's me. It's like 50 other people who, you know, do the analysis, put out the content, all that.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah, so you're going down there like Friday or Saturday or what?
Yeah, I'll show up Saturday. Sunday, we'll have a watch party. All the SoBet folks. And then
it's just going to have a bunch of screens or
we'll
what?
It'll be dialed in. It'll be
the
like
the lines, the game. Oh,
it's like, it's going to be HQ. It's going to be HQ up there. It's going to be like flight control. It's actually going to be probably the worst time of my life. Just 40 dudes screaming at the opposite thing at the same time.
Excited. How involved are you now in the betting industry, the gambling industry, bro? Because the last time we talked, man, it seemed like it was just a hobby. You were good at it, but it seemed like it was more so of a hobby. Now you're really locked in.
Yeah, so I don't play poker anymore. I stopped doing that.
It was poker, bro. It was poker.
Dude, I was at last time when we would do this podcast, it was like my 30-minute break from playing poker. 3 times a week. I'm like, all right, no tournaments prior to 6 o'clock on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I put in, dude, stupid hours, broke my brain. So I'm still more in the content game. I'm still more in the content game than I am the betting. As I put more content out, I learned more about it. More information became public. I connected with people who knew more. I dove deeper into that. But if I put something online, it's mostly like 80-20. Either I'm doing like a satirical story, made up nonsense, or I'm doing a serious pick, serious
betting
analysis.
Betting on your friends' lives and
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly. That's the stuff I like doing. And I'll talk about it because I'm looking at games, I'm watching them, and do an analysis during baseball season and maybe March Madness, NBA playoffs. I'll do like live streams and we'll sweat games out and that's fun. But I don't like, I'm anti-Vegas. I don't work with any books. I don't respect what the books are doing. In all seriousness, I think it's terrible how much effort has been put towards getting the public addicted to gambling. You're right. Like, it was a huge negative in my life. And most people aren't as, they don't operate like me and they can do it under control. But Vegas wants everyone to be addicted. You talk about the cost of a commercial during the Super Bowl, $5-10 million. But then look at this. You got Kevin Hart in the commercial. You got Jamie Foxx in the commercial. You know how much their appearance fee is? It's crazy. And if they can spend $500, $600, $750 million in a year, I think DraftKings went over $1 billion in marketing spend. That's how much money they're making that it's worth it for them to do that. It's worth it. They're going to make, I think there was over $10 billion collectively on all the books bet on last year's Super Bowl. This year, it'll probably be 15, 20 because it's illegal in a lot more states. Gambling's bad for you and you shouldn't do it. But if you have to do it, if you can't stop yourself, you should do the 49ers. You should bet the 49ers. So, yeah, I'm paying attention. I'm deep in it. I'm giving analysis. But, like, in terms of the volume that I'm personally betting, it's not heavy.
Are you super locked into other sports as well besides football, or football you're the most locked in?
As a viewer, yes, it's just a way more enjoyable experience. Baseball is where there's most value, and that's where I obviously have the highest knowledge of the game and know pitching and can read analysis. Because in baseball, there's so much value because people think, oh, the Yankees are better than the Mets, based on something they thought 10 years ago. When obviously, the huge factor is who's on the mound today. And people don't know, other than like 5-10 names in the league. Everyone is so casual about baseball. So there's so much value because, again, the public's on the wrong side. They don't know anything. And if you understand pitching matchups and just like the freshness of the bullpen, are people rested? Are they ready to go? All that, you pay attention, you can definitely be more successful in that. Again, I don't encourage betting.
Or if you just even go to a game and like get good seats and start talking to some of those guys in the bullpen, you know what I mean? You're like, hey, who's pitching today? You gonna do well? He's like, his shoulder's fucked up. What's the craziest thing you've ever gambled on? It's wild. I've never asked you this.
Damn, that is a great question. It would have to be like a personal life player prop. It would have to be the sort of stuff.
Maybe something where other people would bet that same thing, like a game or a sport.
Yeah.
An outcome.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. I did have a pretty hefty bet on the under on the national anthem last year, the length of the national anthem.
And apparently, was that last year where it was insanely close?
It was insanely close. And I thought it hit, but he dragged it a little bit and they said it went over. And I was like, what did you consider the end of that song? Because I thought his mouth was closed. It's a good point.
Yeah.
So, because we had the stopwatch out, we're watching sweat and people are going crazy. It's an electric sweat. I mean, we're, you know, like.
How much money did you put on it?
It was like a few grand. No, not really.
Maybe in total with all the people around you.
Yeah, no, people were pretty heavy.
You know what's interesting? Because, like, I see all of these ads myself about, like, you know, the DraftKings, all the companies that do betting, whatever it is. And they offer you these things that just seem unreal and, like, too good to be true. Like, I remember one specific time, dude, my buddy was like, bro, you got to sign up for this this thing, but of this gambling thing. He was like, you can make easy $100 free dollars. So, yeah. You know, you put in the $100, they match it, and then you get some $100 with it. I understand that the idea is for you to keep the money in the DraftKings or whatever company we're speaking about's bank, but how are there such good deals where they'll match $500 that you'll spend? Do they just put in the metrics that, oh, we'll get 10% of these people betting with us consistently, 50% will fall off? But anyway, what you were about to say.
No, it's a pretty good read of the situation. There is a value assigned to everyone based on demographic, and you know how all our data is being collected on all the different like apps we use and all that. So they have a profile on you. Like it just exists. This is factual. They have a profile on you, and based on your profile and your estimated net worth and your habits, etc., they will
what?
Yeah. And they'll size
up estimated net worth and habits.
Yeah, like you are in the you're in the 25 to 35 range. Yeah. You're male. You're in New York City. This is the obvious stuff. But
they
also
know like tennis.
Yes. Yeah. Instagram knows you like tennis, right? That's all.
Well, I'm not gonna say. Already fucking know.
So I mean, they might not dial it down to you. This is a Ted Jones package, but your Ted Jones is in this bucket, and you're gonna get the package according to this bucket. And generally speaking, yeah, if you like gambling is an addictive thing, and they know that there's enough of a majority of the people that we give $500 to that will one, lose it, and two, will keep going. Some people will win. And if you win, then they're going to reduce your bet size. You can't win for long term. So you have to spread it out around different books. Sometimes they'll give it to a casual. They'll say, you start this account. You're a casual. You start this account. You'll probably bet for a year, lose $1,400. And that account will be like labeled just a casual, right? We don't give a shit about this guy. He's not good. He's not sharp. He's not doing anything special. Just another loser based on the odds. Then I start using that account. Say I'm a sharp. I start doing big fat bets. They're going to shut me down quickly, but I got away with a lot more big bets because that account wasn't flagged.
What do you mean shut you down?
They're going to be like, oh, your max bet on this is actually $60. Your max bet on this is actually $200 because they labeled you a winner. You're good. And that's why like the really, really big bettors, the very, very successful ones, they'll have runners go to casino with cash and place the bets spread out around different people on different days showing up with cash.
It sounds predatory.
It is. It is like the most predatory thing. It's more predatory than credit card lending. It's more predatory than debt consolidation. It is to find people with money, get them addicted, and find a way. And if they quit, they're going to find a way to get you back in. They know your usage history. They know your deposit history. They know the sort of bonuses that would appeal to you. And that's how they're going to try to reel you back in based on that. So once you start using the app, the profile becomes so much sharper. And hence, the only way to like theoretically beat Vegas, it's not just figuring out likely outcomes of games. It's knowing how Vegas is working against you, like how they're trying to play you, and putting out a like an inaccurate profile of yourself. So they're going to give you bonuses and opportunities and bet sizing that aligns to like a profile match that isn't you. And then you can take advantage of it. It's like deep, deep head games. It's poker. It's, yeah.
Have you heard of this guy, Mickey?
Yeah.
This guy with like the big tattoos. Can you explain just his whole thing, please? Because so you guys are clear, there's this guy who basically is like banned from Vegas because he's won so many millions of dollars. He's covered in tattoos, and he just talks about how a lot of people are not banned from Vegas, but Vegas keeps an eye on them because they win too much. But talk about the specific sports better and gambler in general.
So people like Mickey, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure that he's who I would label like a lifestyle salesman. Like I think he's mostly lying, and he's putting out a persona that's going to attract a lot of people, and then it's going to bring celebrities, and he's going to get way more attention online, and he's going to be able to leverage that. People will pay him for advice or pay him for appearances or whatever as a result of this persona he's creating online with these stories. Are they true? To some extent, but I listen to him talk and I'm just, there's holes in the story.
What are some of the things that would be a hole in the story? Because the guy said he's made, you know, $20 million, maybe even more from
casinos. But even that, like, how verifiable is that? Have we seen his W-2s? Have we, or his tax statements in general? You can have fake cash. You can also get loans. Like, I don't doubt that he is an aggressive, heavy gambler. And that, like, if you vlog, like, really aggressive, heavy gambling, it's a pretty profitable thing. You can fake that.
What do you mean if you vlog it? Like, straight up, legit, like,
yeah,
just yo, vlogging. What up? I'm out here vlogging.
Like, what you do, let's but it's you're a gambling addict.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So there's a lot of value in that. He hangs out with a lot of high profile people. That's somewhat verifiable. And I think that's in part because he puts out this idea. So like a lot of celebrities and very wealthy people, especially people in hip hop, love gambling. It's super popular there. And, he connects with people like that and likely gets a lot of opportunities and attention as a result of that. So is he helping them become better gamblers? Maybe. He knows a lot about gambling. Like what I was just getting into in terms of like the reverse psychology with Vegas, that is an effective way to beat Vegas to an extent, but it is, I haven't nailed down that psychology, right? I know the generalities of it, but I can't pinpoint exactly how to do it effectively and scale it out to that extent, which he is effectively claiming to do. And he speaks again in generalities, like you have to know how they're trying to trap you. Yeah, yeah, for sure. But how are you getting them to give you massive comps? How are you getting them to give you, like you talk about like a $500 deposit bonus. We're talking about like hundreds of thousands of deposit because you're labeled like such a whale that there's a value in giving you that much money because that's the profile they have on you. So he theoretically has created this persona of a whale gambler that deserves these like hundreds of thousands of value in gambling credits and suites at casinos, et cetera. Yeah. And he uses that to actually make money. And then they figure out, oh, he's actually a winner. And then they ban him and they don't need a reason. They just ban him for whatever. I question the validity of everything he's saying. I'm not saying 100% he's a fraud, but I understand why he would lie about that. And I see the value in lying about that. I think it's like loosely based in reality and then a ton of like massively exaggerating things.
Go ahead.
Speaking ambiguously so people can't.
Is there a way to be like a fake whale? You know, people go into these people who have hundreds of millions of dollars. They're spending millions of dollars at casinos each year. Every time that they go to one of these hotels in Vegas, the Vegas opens up the presidential suite for them, whatever it is, $50,000 a night, the Rolls Royce, the tuxedo butlers. Is there a way to be like a fake whale where people would put you up in there and I think you're going to spend all this money and then you don't? Or have these people been repeat customers? They've lost enough money at the hotel and the hotel is confident that if we put them up in the presidential suite, they're going to lose at least $50,000. So it's worth it to put them up there.
Yeah, that's a good question. I would imagine it would be a ton of effort in verifying and like creating a, Have you ever seen How I Met Your Mother?
With Neil Patrick Harris?
Yes.
No, but I know it.
So he's like a massive womanizer and lies to everyone. And he has this thing, I forget the name of it, but basically he creates an online persona. He drops his name, goes to the bathroom. The girl looks him up and finds out he's like this rich, famous, incredible guy and like wants to be with him. So you could create a persona, like a backstory and everything, and then have like your assistant call in and be like, I'm trying to reserve a suite for Sir Lord Van whatever. And they'd be like, okay, yeah, we'll give him the presidential suite because we Googled and his net worth is blah, blah, blah. Like it would be a lot of effort in terms of getting that information, fake information online or pretending to be someone else. But that doesn't really work because there's so much ID verification at casinos for you to actually bet. You could fake whale in terms of playing like a long-term game, like almost like a hustler where you're intentionally losing money because you have a plan to get it back later. But there's no real like, I don't really think there's any value in that. If you're good enough to where you can confidently win later, it's better to stay under the radar, go from very different areas, like get banned without, you know, being public. And that's the other reason why I think Mickey's a fraud. It's like, if he were getting banned from one place, he would go very remotely, different countries, et cetera, and keep winning these so-called like massive multi-million dollar benders. It would be worth it for him to do that instead of talking about it everywhere. Anyone will listen to him. Even if all of Vegas banned him, okay, go to France, go to Monaco, go all throughout London. Like, there's more opportunity outside of Vegas to gamble. And there's, yeah, there's just way too much value in him keeping a low profile for me to believe that what he's doing is real.
Did you see this new hotel, the Fountain Blue in Las Vegas?
I've seen some pics.
Yeah. They paid Justin Timberlake $6.3 million the opening night to perform. And he didn't even stay at the hotel, dude. And I'm not sure how much you heard about the story or how much you guys have heard of the story, but at the end of the night, they went to the Wynn Hotel, which is basically like, I don't know, maybe it's like a 10-minute drive from the Fountain Blue. And the Wynn initially posted like a picture of Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake walking down the hallway of the Wynn. And it says like the Wynn, where everybody ends up. And then they ended up deleting it because it was like the most savage post of all time. I don't know the metrics behind it, but a hotel like that, Mike Malak, who's a YouTuber, he stayed at that hotel, and two Fiji waters and a coffee cost $60. Dude, two Fiji waters were, so it was $16 each, and then the coffee was like $20 or something. And then they add an 18% gratuity.
That's the thing. It's like the airport times five, right? Because you're not thinking about the value of money at the casino. Let me tell you, if I'm deep in a poker tournament, I'll spend $60 to have someone come bring me food because I'm not thinking logically about money. When you think of the money they give away, it just is such a great indicator of how much they win.
Right.
And no one should gamble.
You got to get your 9%. So you figured if they spent, I don't know which company you were talking about, that they spent $1 billion on.
DraftKings.
Yeah. So you figure if they have to make their 9%, then they made what? 10 billion? Is that something fair? Maybe even more.
Yeah. They probably not this year, but long term it'll be worth it because they're not even trying to make money right now. They're trying to grow their user base and they're trying to build addicts. Like the same, you know, social media is built to get you addicted, right? It's the same.
Well, it's like oxycodone. Yeah. Stuff like that, man. It's wild.
And the same thing.
And, yeah, it affects your health probably in a negative light.
It's the same. It's give someone their first bag of crack free.
Yeah. Just to try it out. At this Super Bowl party, I shouldn't call it a party. What should I call it?
It's kind of a party. It's like, content machine, watch party, whatever.
Are you think that they're going to be people who are just on another level of obsessiveness than you at this particular place, especially since it's 40 other dudes?
Yeah. Yeah. People are going to have, I'm scared.
Do you know anyone going?
Yeah. I mean, I know them all like online. I don't know people in real. It's like an online.
Who's the most intense? There's one guy who's like glaringly super intense. Maybe he's addicted.
Well, maybe. No, it's like, it's going to be all like people that bet every single day, watch sports every single day. Like I'm actually probably the most tame in this group because again, my thing is way more content. I know the game. I've been full blown like that, but that's how I have experience and know what I'm talking about and can reference in, but I'm more focused on content than the betting. Obviously the Super Bowl, like we'll be locked in on that, but there will be people with, you know, 5, 10, 15 grand on the outcome of the game for sure. And relative to their net worth, it's significant.
Well, right? Do you think that they would be making a lot of their net worth though from these games? I mean, since it's a pretty exclusive group, wouldn't they be making their money just from gambling? Like that's a full-time job or no?
A couple people. But I don't, like making a full-time living off gambling isn't really realistic. Like it's happened, but it's not realistic because the money you need to create enough of a volume to make like a good living, it's still a small fraction of net worth, right? Like if you're worth $10 million, making 100K a year isn't that appealing. So it's more people that like it treated as a side hustle, make some income and then make more income by getting other people to selling the information, selling the picks, et cetera. Because if you pay $10 a month to make $200 a month, that's worth it. And then if I have 2,000 people paying me $10 a month, I make $20,000 a month, right? And that is a living, but it's to give people a small profit every month. It's not to say, yeah, give me $10 a month. I'm going to make you $100,000 this year because then it wouldn't be $10 a month. And also if it were that easy, if we were making that much of a multiple of your income, you know, you wouldn't need to sell picks. You wouldn't need to do that. And that's the biggest misconception with people selling picks. The people that flex their lifestyle are scammers. They're flexing their lifestyle, pretending, yeah, I made $2 million this year. I'm like, the reason I'm in this Lambo, it's because of my picks. The reason I'm in this sick house, it's because of my picks. The reality is, the reason you're in that sick house is because of the scam you're doing, selling these picks, and you're making a ton of money selling these picks. I make a very small amount being like, yeah, you know, give me $10 a month and you can get access to this information and you can make a little bit of money on the side. And your hobby is actually bringing in a few $100 a month instead of costing you your whole bankroll. You should expect and hope for an ROI in a good year that's around 10, 12, 15%. That's a great year of betting. If you did 200%, you're going to lose it all next year because you're not doing any sort of reasonable, sustainable method. If you've doubled up, like, you're betting like a maniac.
What do you think about the streamers who have gotten deep into the gambling and betting fake. With, yeah, people like Rubet and fake. Stake? How do you mean fake?
Fake money. Like I've been not
the company. Just from what I kind of understand, or what you tell me if I'm wrong, but the companies would go to an influencer and say, "Hey, stream you gambling and playing this game for an hour and a half. We'll give you $50,000 initially, and you'll start with that money." Is that something that would be a basic way to maybe trick your viewers into be like, "Yeah, I'm using my own money. You guys should use your own money too."
Yeah, that's it. I mean, when you say fake.
How do you mean?
Like, it's not, they'll be like, cause I've had offers like this. I've had tiny offers that are real. They'll be like, we'll give you $250 stream for an hour. And if you have anything left over at the end of the hour, keep it. Sure. Whatever. But if someone is doing huge money, even people that are worth tens of million dollars, like huge streamers, they'll say, we're going to put like $1 million in the account. It's not $1 million. Here's 25 grand. To stream for, you know, 10 hours this month, yeah, or whatever. And there's $1 million in the account because they'll give you fake accounts with fake money. So you can show huge bet slips because $100,000 bet gets way more attention than a $500 right, bet.
But you're allowed to have that balance in the corner, not be the actual balance of what you have.
Yeah. Fake account. And I literally have these. I don't do it because it's kind of messed up, but yeah. People will be like, here's this account, do this, post this, blah, blah, and we'll pay you.
And there's no way to verify if that actual million in the corner is... No,
it looks the exact same. I just couldn't withdraw it because it's not real. Like, they basically, here's an account, here's the login, there's $5,000 in the account, but I couldn't withdraw it. They would block me from withdrawing it. If it's a small amount, we'll put $500 in an account, stream it, post your bet slips, whatever. You can keep whatever you make. Yeah, so on a small level, it'll be real, but big numbers, fake. If it were me, they'd give me $10,000. If it were a huge person, they'd give you $1 million in the account, whatever, but it's not real money.
You still think that gambling and betting is potentially very underregulated or just underregulated a little bit? Or if unregulated at all?
New Jersey, it's very well regulated. Across the board, outside of that, it's really poorly regulated, and not just in the advertising. Again, it's kind of weird. It's a little hypocritical because I'm kind of in that space. I talk about it real. I don't say you should be gambling all your money or anything. I think it's a bad idea. But in terms of the amount of money that's going into advertising and trying to create addicts and trying to be the way announcers can talk about it, like, this is way more dangerous than stuff that is way more regulated. And they're trying to create addicts. They're trying to get your connection. Even people that are underage right now and can't gamble, they're trying to get them to think about football in terms of over unders and spreads and whatnot and betting on it and eventually
crazy.
That's why they're investing so much now. It's a long-term play, so it's really under-regulated in terms of that. It's also under-regulated in terms of it's effectively a monopoly, because, you know, you talk about the 9% juice, right, where if it's an even money bet, it's -110, so I need to bet $110 to win 100. So if I were 500, I won half my bets, I'd lose 9%, and that's how they make their money, right? You can't really, no one does 8%, and they'd make a ton of money at 8%, but there's a reason no one does 8%, because they would do 8%, someone would do 7%, someone would do 6%, and finally they'd come down to cost, like 3%. And shout out to places like BetOpenly, for instance, which isn't as legal yet because of this, but a lot of people can still use it, where it's like, I bet, you take my bet, they take 1% for facilitating the bet. That's valid. I bet $100, you match it, the winner gets $198 because they took their share for just having the site and whatever. That's fair. That's what it should be. But the fact that there's no competition, it's monopoly. That's the biggest lack of regulation in my mind.
Anything that we've slept on thus far with betting or the Super Bowl or things to look out for?
I think we covered it pretty well. If you want to bet for fun, Super Bowl's a great time to do it. Be reasonable, small amounts. If you want to bet seriously, your bankroll should be 50 units. Check out, you know, all my stuff if you want more on that. Don't just go crazy on it. Don't just go crazy on it. You will, even if you win now, you'll lose long term. It's a scam if you don't have if you don't regulate yourself.
What is the number one bet for the Super Bowl? What do you think it's going to be?
If you already can't tell. Bet?
Yeah.
Well, it'll obviously be game outcome, okay. And it'll probably be Chiefs money line. There's slight value on.
How do you mean? How do you mean money
line? Money line means just winning, as opposed to spread means that you need to win by two or three or whatever it is. In this case, it would be Chiefs plus one. So you just do money line, get a little bit better value. They'll pay a little bit more if they just win straight up. But yeah, that's going to be the most heavily bet will probably be Chiefs money line, maybe Niners money line, but I'm pretty sure it's going to lean Chiefs. The most bet you should do, I like Brock Purdy Super Bowl MVP as a sprinkle. You get plus 240 on that. I like that play. You know, bet heads, because this is just a fun one. This is just a fun one. Everyone rooting for the same thing. It's a legit 50-50 spot. We're all rooting. I think that's fun. Could unite the country in a time when we need it most. And a good one would be taking some Travis Kelce unders. I'm sorry. It's going to be super, super, super inflated because of how public and popular it is. Fade Travis Kelce. And yeah, just have a good time. It's a Super Bowl. Enjoy yourself. Have a slice of pizza.
Love that. Dude, Peter. Thank you so much for coming on the pod, part 101, dude.
Crazy.
If you guys have never listened to an episode with Peter Moran, definitely go back, check it out, and had a great time at every single one of them. This one was specific to the Super Bowl because that's your expertise, man, betting. Before we get out of here, though, we're going to pop up your Instagram, pop up your TikTok. Let us know where we can find you. Let us know where we can find some of these bets to bet on before the Super Bowl, guys. We got 3 days, all right? And the Super Bowl, 6:30 on, I'm sure you'll be able to find it on TV. Just turn on the TV. But we're popping up your socials right now, bro. So let us know.
Yes, sir. Get involved. Pick and feed. I'll see you there.
Okay, beautiful. Anything else, Peter? I haven't seen you in, dude, what, 18 months?
Good to see you, bro. Good to see the body, honestly.
Great to see you. Hey, man. Thank you so much. And, dude, I remember one specific time you were like, there's something sexual about having like a man bun running in the summer. We'll see. Hopefully, I'll have the patience to get there. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Message this guy. And hopefully, he'll get back to you. But he's blowing up on social. And he's a great dude. He looks good. And very happy to have him back here on the couch. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Peace.